until the elections are declared in your favor, you have to behave like the underdog. It's a principle in warfare, it's a principle in sport. Any boxer who goes into any tournament overconfident ultimately finds himself in trouble. You must prepare, you must work extra hard, you must study your opponent, you must give it all you've got, and you wait till the final bell. And in this case, the final vote is cast and the results are declared. Because you may well win the elections, but a lot of strange things can happen. This is Africa. And in 2016, many things happened. Some were our own fault. Our coalition system was not properly managed. The system collapsed at a certain point. And so many, many things went wrong. So I believe that we have all learned our lessons. And going forward, we'll all endeavor to do better than we did before. We will not repeat the mistakes of the past. We'll all be humble. We should know that the people of Ghana are not obliged to vote for us. We need to persuade them with persuasive communication, with humility, letting them understand why they need to give us another opportunity. And when it comes to the persona of President Mahama, he has tremendous experience in governance. He started as an assemblyman. From there, he became an MP. From there, he became a deputy minister of communications. Then he became a minister. He's been to the African Parliament. And then he became the vice president of the republic, became president. And so he has tremendous experience. And his track record and achievements in government are all there for all to see. And so if you compare his track record when he was in government to the abysmal performance of the MPP today, I think that with that track record behind him and our new message, that will show the people where we want to take this country in the next 4 years. Ghanaians will give us that opportunity again.
Awesome. So you've actually answered part of my next question, but I still want to put it to you so you can add to it, if you will. What is your strategy to regain power?
Obviously, I'm not going to discuss strategy on
air. All right, so, let me rephrase that question. What is your message to Ghanaians? Because we know that, for instance, the NPP came and said, oh, we're going to give you free SHS. What are you selling to Ghanaians?
I think it will be a bit conceited on my part, a day after our presidential primaries, to pretend that I have the message for Ghanaians. The message will be crafted based on our manifesto, which will be a response to the current socio-economic challenges facing the country, and also based on our track record. Okay. So campaign messages are crafted based on collective decisions. But what I can say for now is that it's self-evident that the MPP has failed and they are failing. Now, let me just give you this analogy. When people ask me what I think about the MPP administration, I tell them, well, as a lecturer in the university, former lecturer, when I set a question and I have section A, section B, and the question says, answer section A, one question, compulsory, and three other questions. And section A carries 40 marks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Section A is a compulsory question. So answer section A and three other questions, section A, compulsory. It means that if you fail section A, even if you answer four or five questions and you score 60 over 60, you are failed. So in this context, section A is that what is the primary responsibility of any government? The primary responsibility of any government is to ensure the peace and security and individual well-being of the citizenry. Let's ask ourselves, for the past 2.5 years that the NPP has in power, what has been the state of security in the country? That is the compulsory question, because you see, it becomes a very, very important sine qua non for all other aspects of development. If you do not have peace and security, there is no way that you can have consistent development. And I can tell you that there's a high level of insecurity in Ghana today. Armed robbery has gone up, murders have gone up, robbery, all kinds of things are going on. So for me, Section A, which is a compulsory question, and you can add even the economy to that. They told us that the CD, they had arrested the CD and put it in a cell and everything. Today, you know the exchange rate of the CD? It's running amok.
Over $5. Over 5 CDs to the dollar.
Exactly. So, already, fundamentally, they are failed. But that is not sufficient grounds for us to execute a campaign. I'm saying that based on this, we are also going to produce practical and workable alternatives to the people of Ghana.
Okay.
And we're going to work so hard, and we're going to be so vigilant, we are no longer going to be complacent, and we'll ensure that every vote that is cast will be counted in our favor. Every vote that is cast for us.
Sure. So, again, you've answered part of my next question, which is vigilantism in Ghana. Everybody is disturbed about what is going on in Ghana. We all saw what happened a few weeks ago. We can't also hide from the fact that the NDC has a certain responsibility when it comes to trying to nip this in the bud. As Director of Elections, what are you going to do to assure Ghanaians that we don't have anything to worry about going to the polling station to cast our vote?
I think you are asking the wrong person. I am not in charge of the state security. It is the responsibility of the state to ensure that the citizens are secure. That is the primary responsibility of the government of Ghana, headed by the Commander-in-Chief, Nana Akufo-Addo. So that is his responsibility. He is the one whose party trained Invincible and Delta forces. There's been more than 4 or 5 occasions, from the beating of a 7 police officer right in the Flagstaff House to a situation where some of these guys invaded a court competent jurisdiction and disrupted proceedings, to a situation where they went and assaulted a 7 officer of national security. I can go on and on and on. In all these instances, the president did not take any firm, drastic action. This is what has degenerated into what we are seeing today. So there is a simple solution. He should bring his boys back to order. Once he does that, everything will fall into place.
Once he does that, will the NDC also call the hawks to order?
I don't see, as far as I'm concerned, the hawks are not part of the formal structure of the NDC. It is a response to the violence and aggression and attacks. It's like a vigilante. For instance, you live in a community, okay? And consistently, your houses are being robbed. One day they rob your neighbor, kill his children. The next week they rob another person. So they've robbed 10 houses. Yeah? And you are supposed to have the police to provide security. That is not happening. So you decide to form a local vigilante group to protect yourself, to patrol. Okay? So the problem is not you who has formed a local vigilante group, right? Or watchdog group, neighborhood watch, to protect yourself. The problem is the failure of the state security to provide security for you.
Mm, okay.
Do you understand me?
Yeah, let's move on. So the president has called for a bipartisan conference to address the issue in his State of the Nation address. What do you think of that call? Would you think it will achieve anything?
Well, the devil is in the details, isn't it? So let's wait for how that call will be actualized. That's the only way one can draw conclusions. So I'm not going to sit here and say anything good or bad about it. What is the meaning of that call by partisan? What about those of his boys who have already been absorbed into the national security, who wear mosquito face masks in the hot afternoon in Ayawaso to prevent mosquitoes from biting them, according to ASP Azugu? I live in East Legon. I haven't seen those Ayawaso mosquitoes in any hot afternoon. That's just by the way.
So, all right. So now you in Nigeria on a election monitoring mission.
Yes.
Who sent you on that mission, first of all, and what are you supposed to be doing?
Okay, so I was sent here based on my own track record in elections. What many people do not know is that as far back as 2002, when I finished my master's in international relations in Lesia, I applied for a job in ECOWAS. And I was almost on the verge of entering ECOWAS when my godfather, Atuahoe, called me to come and join Professor Mills' campaign. And this is where I am today. So I've always had an interest and a link with those international organizations. But because of my political activities, so I've never had time to pursue any of them. So at this time, I was offered the opportunity from ECOWAS to come and participate, and I did. And I thought that it would also be very useful for me in my new job as Director of Elections for my party.
Yeah. So you were invited directly by the ECOWAS?
Yeah, by ECOWAS, yes.
Okay, all right. And so let me take this opportunity also to ask to get some clarification on your new appointment. Is it a new position? It sounds like, I'm not sure if I've heard anybody referred to as the Director of Elections in the NDC.
It's been there for some time. You know, Honorable Ofosuam Kofo was the immediate past Director of Elections of our party. So it's been there.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So what have you observed so far, having been in Nigeria? So we see a lot on social media. A lot of it is disturbing. But I believe you on the ground can tell us what really is happening and any lessons that Ghana can get from what's going on in Nigeria right now.
Officially, by our rules of engagement, I am not permitted to speak for and on behalf of the mission. Mm. It is the mission coordinator. We present all our reports. We are deployed across the country in various teams. I was in Kano. I was assigned together with another gentleman from Kodeo to one local government area called Dala. So Kano has one of the largest voter populations in Nigeria, the whole of Nigeria, and many, many local governments. So I was assigned to one of them. And then from there, that was Abid Dala, there are about 12 different wards. And so we covered those wards to observe the processes, you know, the process flow, to see if everything was going on well. And after that, we present our report to the ECOWAS team leader, who then sends it to the ECOWAS headquarters and all the other observers across the country. And these reports are then collated and then presented. So I cannot specifically speak on behalf of the ECOWAS, as it were.
I got it.
I must say that since it's all elections, there are a lot of lessons that I've learned, a lot of observations that I've made. And when I get back home, we'll see how we can also fine-tune ours and then also see the pitfalls here that we also do not do the same thing.
Mm. On a light note, are you going to use that experience just to benefit your party, or are you going to use that to benefit the whole of Ghana?
Well, I'm Director of Elections for the NDC. And so, as Director of Elections for the NDC, and the NDC being a major stakeholder in the Ghanaian polity, if we're able to put systems and structures in place to ensure free, fair, and equitable elections, I'm sure the whole country benefits.
I get that. That's a very very smart answer, I must say. So before I let you go, I have heard some finger you as a possible future presidential possibility. What is in your stars? What does your future look like? What's the roadmap to your future in politics look like?
You say you have heard.
Yes, I have.
In this day and age, you hear all kinds of things. Be careful what you hear.
Well, let me clarify. So okay. The NDC is noted for engaging the youth, right? I was having a discussion with somebody, and some of the things they mentioned was that whereas in the NPP, for instance, there's a whole lot of old guard still waiting their turn, the NDC has like a bank of youthful energy waiting to carry the party forward. And one of the names that came up is yours. Does that clarify?
I see. I'm flattered. Well, we just had presidential primaries yesterday. I don't think it would be very absurd that we've had presidential primaries, we've elected a flag bearer, we have 2 years to 2020 elections, and then I'll be discussing what presidential ambitions at this stage. You may have very good intentions for asking such a question, but I can assure you, tomorrow before you see banner headline, every answer declares for 2024. So please, my focus now is to ensure that assignment I've been given by my party is a very delicate and sensitive assignment. I discharge my duties and responsibilities to the best of my ability and help the party win the 2020 elections. And then we take it from there.
Okay.
Let me just say that, as I mentioned earlier, I never, ever, ever, ever plan to go into active partisan politics. My dream, vision, and everything had been to go into international politics. That's why I studied international relations. And I said, I applied to ECOWAS, I had applied to the UN. So that was the trajectory that I was going to pursue until Mr. Atu Ahoy called me in 2002 and asked me to join Prof's campaign for the primaries. So it's been one thing after the other and after the other. So let's leave the rest to God. It is God who determines our future. And let's focus on the tax ahead. The 2020 battle is not going to be easy at all. So we should all focus on that. When we win 2020, then we take it one step at a time.
I get you. So I said before I let you go, but I think I have a final question. The State of the Nation address, the State of the Nation address by President Akufo-Addo. What are your impressions?
Unfortunately, I wasn't there in Ghana, and I was here on the grounds on that particular day. We did our final debriefing, and then we had to go on the field to do our final check. So I've not been able to read it, or I haven't paid attention to it, because we are here on the ground. After the election, we've had to write our reports, do a debriefing, and then also be monitoring the results as they come in. So I really haven't paid attention. So I wouldn't want to comment on something that I have not listened to or read.
Mr. Efiye Ankra, Elvis Efiye Ankra, thank you very much for your time. And
thank you.
We wish you all the best in your new role and also in your future endeavors. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And it's a privilege and an honor to speak with you.
Thank you.